Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a Big Mood.
Big Woo! Mood.
Today we have one of our favorite husbands on deck here.
He's my favorite husband.
Nice to be included.
Scuba fucking Steve.
Stephen Paul Green.
Thank you very much
for using
my full legal name. Please cut that. No,
and make sure you spell it with a PH. So it's like Stephen. Make sure you Stephen. Bully him about it.
That's fine.
Wait, is it really spelled with a PH?
Yeah. It's very annoying anytime I sign up for anything. And they read it back to me. I'm like, whatever. Yeah.
Stephen. So we have Stefan on set here. Who else do we have on set?
You got Gina on set.
You got Nikki on set.
And then, of course, me, Jess.
All sad.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the consolation prize with this.
No. It's Jess. All right. It's Jessica.
It's a towel-sized Jess. Like fucking Jess.
We love her.
Fucking Jess.
Yeah. It's Jess.
Yeah. So today, I wanted to talk about red pill boys, and I wanted to bring a guy on because I know the guys are going to be like, you don't even have a male perspective, you know? So we have representation here for you little bitches.
Thank you. I'm very red pill.
We actually get we get this request a lot, or we used to in the comments. Is it the same as MGTOW?
That's a part of the community. Okay. There's a million little shoot-offs. We can get into
it. It's a spectrum of red pilling.
There's a ton of shit within the manosphere. Manosphere online.
Okay.
Interesting.
So I guess since a lot of people who are not obsessed with the internet might not know exactly what this community is, I'll try to explain it a little bit.
Did a woman explain us?
No, I got all of this stuff off the internet. Okay, so if
written by men, okay,
like Wikipedia and other shit like that. So basically, where we need to start is understanding what the manosphere is, which is a collection of websites and online forums promoting masculinity, strong opposition to feminism, very often hostility towards women, and even quite also often exaggerated misogyny. So this is just a section of the internet where a lot of guys go to vent. The manosphere has been associated sometimes with the politically far right or alt right, and even little pieces are associated with white supremacist groups, but that's not the main part. But it basically, it's just a radical space of the internet that a lot of men have gone to. There's different groups within it. There's incels. We know the involuntary celibates. They're part of the manosphere. MGTOW, which is men going their own way, is a part of the manosphere. Huh. Pickup artists are part of the manosphere.
God,
we know how Gina feels about
those. I love
those.
This little ecosystem.
Yeah, and then there's also like father's rights groups.
I feel like they're the ones that had a legitimate start to everything.
Because they got kind of fucked in the divorce. Yes. They can't see their kids. They wanted to go vent somewhere. They wanted help from other men. Like, how do I fucking deal with this shitty divorce? So it makes sense, like kind of a lot of men being sort of upset with like just the world in general, or like the dealing with females, like they need somewhere to go to, like
it's like the one part of the justice system I've seen like women kind of have an unfair advantage of, but there's so many other parts where women get,
but it's still sexist, right?
The
funny thing about it, it has to be funny because otherwise everything's suffering, is that the judge is like, well, obviously the woman would raise the child better.
Right. So I mean, the judges are usually men, right?
Still sexist.
Yeah, I did good. Yeah. I did so good.
And don't men write most of our laws? So I don't know. Y'all figure it out. But anyways, the manosphere. So the manosphere is often seen as a negative thing. I want to give it some room for it to not be just a shit pile, so we can kind of discuss like different aspects of it. Yeah, like hear them out. Like, well, I mean, obviously I think with any community there's always going to be crazy radical people that take things too far, but the communities typically start for a reason. Like a lot of people are feeling the same way about something and they just want to feel like someone else hears them out or whatever. So while initially any type of crazy feminist or whatever is probably going to be mad that I even give them any benefit of the doubt at all.
You're giving them a platform.
Yeah. But I do, and I, you know, I've been seen as lately a little bit of a man hater. So I want to give a little bit of space to understand men's issues as well. And I'm not just a man hater. Like I've been talking a lot of shit about men lately. But
yes,
I do think that there's obviously a lot of good men that still deserve to live. So
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Can this
you
one
found
stay?
A You're spot one in the
of
middle.
Them. You're
found
one
a spot
of them.
In the middle.
A spot in the middle is that a few men deserve to live.
I love
still.
It.
A couple.
Few. I feel like that's with any extremist group. Like it started from a decent place, a logical place. Like religion. Even religion has been known to go extreme,
right.
And like be very toxic and not and problematic. But what it started as is like a good place. Like it's like people want a sense of community and they want to put love into the world and light. And I think a lot of religions still holds that place for people.
Right.
But then we just hear the extremist groups that are like
either the crazy Christians or the Islam radicals or whatever. But that's not the main core of that thing. But as far as the manosphere goes, I mean, a lot of it is kind of just a lot of like hate. So I wouldn't say that they started from a place of light, but I would say that I don't think it's necessarily all bad at the same time either.
Like a place of coping.
Right. So what I found, someone described on the internet that the main tenets of the manosphere can be reduced to two main points, which is the corruption of modern society by feminism, which basically is in direct violation of the differences between men and women. Like, feminism doesn't take into account that there are differences between men and women. And secondly, that the ability of men to save society or achieve sexual prowess by adopting a hyper-masculine role and forcing women to submit to them. So it is pretty misogynistic, I would say, corner of the world.
Slightly.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Misunderstood.
It kind of seems to boil down that men are the victims for something. So that's why a lot of times people don't respect this.
Yeah.
Because they don't like to see men. So what do you think, Steve?
Well, so this is interesting, right? Because I'm of two minds about it. Like I can zoom out and just point at the extremist guys and laugh. And I often do. I think we all do, especially when we hear certain stories about them. And like a lot of the incel stories where like, they're like, fuck all women. They're all like awful, all that stuff. We all tend to laugh at all that stuff, but we don't tend to peek behind the curtain and try to look at what's going on.
Yeah.
And, so I think that the idea, so let's break it down, right? So you got the idea that feminism has infected society so that I, as a man, have to go, I cannot be a man as much now.
It's ruined traditional values.
I'm supposed to be something different. I'm supposed to almost kind of go away because, like, you know, the future is women right now, right? And like
fuck yeah, it is.
So, right. So stuff like that makes people go, oh, okay, well, I'm not a woman. I have literally no chance of doing that, of being part of the future, I guess. So I guess what I'll do is kind of just recede into my own little place, my own little hovel, where maybe other people agree with me that this is kind of gotten out of hand a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I think all the future is women stuff is just super fucking lame, if anything. Like, it's just like sloganeering, and it doesn't really
I think it's like the way people take it. So
yeah,
because you can take it one way, like, oh, if you're not female, get the fuck out because you're not in the future. Or you can take it as like, we've been told, like, we're kind of been a less than gender for so long that it's like, hey, it doesn't have to be that way. There's a future for us. Like, there's two different ways you can interpret.
And that's what I like about it, right? But I'm talking about the sloganeering. I don't like all the like, this rhymes, and so therefore it's like really good. And like, like, you know, and like the future is female. So like,
it's
therefore
marketing, baby.
It's just super, it's just not a good argument for me. I'm like, cool, what about it is should be female? Let's go there. Like, let's talk about it.
Well, first, what we're going to do is we're going to kill all the men. And then,
Tell them the plan.
Okay.
We need to find the good specimens first, extract them of their sperm, because we still need to, you know, populate. But then we burn all of them.
We just figure out the genetic code so we can create sperm from a lab.
That window where like the male sperm die because they're faster, but they live shorter.
Yeah, because the
egg. And then the women's sperm continue to live.
I can see that.
Then we'll inseminate during that period
of
time. No, but that's what I'm saying, right? Where it's like, if you look at everything, right, and they're going, we need more women here, we need more girls for this and all that stuff, and you're going, well, I'm not that, so I won't be a part of it. I need to go somewhere where maybe other people, does anybody agree with me? Well, they don't out here. Oh, they did on my Facebook group, but then Facebook decided to ban it because they say we're misogynist assholes, right? And then now I got to go somewhere else. So where do I go? I go to maybe Reddit, Red Pill. I go to maybe 4chan.
Yeah.
And then I'm surrounded by people who are even further out on the limb, and they're fucking, you know, blowing around hard. Like, obviously, extremist people there, more of them. And I'm bouncing my thoughts off of extremist people. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
And so we can choose to look at it and ridicule and laugh and go, haha, they're so stupid, how great are we that we all just agree with each other over here, or we can try to treat them like people and try to figure out what's going on. If I had a kid and they were going through something and they lashed out at school, beat some kid up, and I bring them home and I'm like, fuck you, you beat a kid up, that's fucked up, no, like, you could never hurt another person, obviously we all agree with that. Does anybody disagree with that? But if I was to be at any layer of maturity deeper than just punishing someone, I would try to sit them down and be like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes you feel like you need to do that to somebody else?
Well, I'm like getting emotional.
Well, we don't do that a lot, you know?
Yeah. It Some people just need to be understood.
Yeah, man. And so, you know, I can take myself there and, you know, because like, my God, my background was all comedy. So I can, if I want to, I can just break anything fucking down and like attack and it with a war arsenal. And that's fun. And it's fun for everybody. Like if you look at our news right now, look at our late night comedy, right? If you want to go watch the news, some people watch it through late night comedy. Are you getting the news from late night comedy? Like, of course not. You're getting the arsenal. The war arsenal, like just launching on people.
You're getting sound bites that you can use later.
And beating on the tropes.
For jokes, because it's supposed to be for jokes. It's small clips of small truths to hit a punchline.
Hit the stereotype, hit the trope, hit the meme about it, and then let's all laugh and move on. And that's healthy. And that's good, too.
Apparently,
Well, but there's a healthy aspect to it, right?
Well, and that's your only exposure to what's going on in our culture, whatever, then it's not a full picture. So it's not giving people enough information to really have an
opinion.
There
hasn't been room for discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're now a man, right, and you're told, well, if I want to, you know, you're not told to be responsible for yourself. Not anymore. Not really. I mean, you hear a lot of like, well, that's toxic to try to do that. Or you want to pay for the woman's food. That's a toxic old world way of thinking. Obviously, the woman should be able to pay for the food. And the ideas behind that have been mixed in with this, like the shitty people, right? The shitty ones who are toxic, like get mixed in with like the guys who are like, no, I just want to show them that I want to take care of them. Not that they need me to take care of them. It's
That's actually something I agree with. Like if a guy expects me to pay for a first date, I'm like, well, then you're not even here to like set up a relationship. Like, what are we doing here? What is this game?
Yeah. And see, unfortunately, the red pill guys, some of them, or the black pill guys, more of those guys.
So I would say the black pills are the incels, the ones that like just can't
fuck
all
women.
Get laid.
Women are all whores. You have to pay them for sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And they know that because they've only been able to pay women to have sex with them. And so they're like, all women need to be paid for sex. See what happens? Like, it's a wild thing.
It's circular reasoning. It's like, well, all women need to be paid for sex because that's the only way I've ever had sex. So I need to pay for sex. So that's
and you just assume that
they shame
like
those
that.
Women. They're shaming what they're actively consuming.
Yeah,
which is.
Like, because they feel shame. It's projection. But they also have things like where they're like, yeah, you have to be X height. Like, you have to be this amount of height or else a woman won't fuck you.
Yeah.
You have to make X amount of money or else a woman won't fuck you.
But
they have their own rules.
But they hear that, though.
Yeah. They're creating these, like, these, there's stuff that we talk about, like these little online definitions. And then they set up, like, this is the way the world is. So, like, in the manosphere, there's this thing where they divide men into alpha and beta males, where alphas are seen as sexually dominant and attractive to women. And women are hardwired to want sex with alphas. And but they believe that women will only pair with beta males for financial stability or financial benefits. So if you're not the super hot guy, the super strong, super tall, super handsome, you can get laid that way. Or if you're quote unquote a beta male, you have to be rich, and that's how you'll get laid. So that they believe they just put all men into you're either alpha or beta. And then, but I just don't think that's even realistic.
No. But turn on Real Housewives. There is a lot of confirmation bias if you just watch that show and you're like, holy shit, that's how the world works. Like
I understand. I mean, so I feel there's so many similarities between the feminist movement and this movement where like...
Well, the radical movements.
Yeah, the radical movements.
Yeah.
Where like women were getting sick of being like, there's a group that's like, well, you have to either have, you know, big boobs and be really sexy and then you get the guy, or like you have to be the popular girl to get the guy, or you have to like be, you know, make good food or be a good, you know, whatever, like be a domestic spouse. And so it feels like a little bit
of
rebellion.
They're like separating, like you're either this or that.
Right? Yeah.
What is that, a false dichotomy? Like, what is that argument? Yeah. Is it false dichotomy where it's like either this or that?
Right. There's no in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. False dichotomy.
And that's what's going on, right? And then you have both groups sort of shouting at each other across the street, and nobody's meeting halfway. Nobody wants to have a conversation anymore. It's all just, I have my slogan and you have your slogan. Well, I say the future is female. Well, I say all women are whores and they all want to are gold diggers. And there's no, you never make progress that way. And so, and because we've banned places that maybe had a couple bad eggs who were, you screenshot the bad egg, and then Facebook goes, we're taking down this community because it has sexism or whatever, misogyny. You push these people to dark corners of the internet, and then you are surprised at the result.
Mm-hmm. You create martyrs, and then the martyrs get more radical, and then people are just like, it just spirals downward.
Or they try to destroy people who are asking questions or being reasonable, like Jordan Peterson. They've done nothing but try to destroy that man since he came out. Mm-hmm. And all he was talking about is how men go into their own like pleasure islands because they feel like they can't participate or they're not appreciated, but in their groups or in their society. And so they go to, you know, play video games all day, or they go watch online porn all day, or they go, you know, wherever to just get some kind of gratification, feel like they can get pleasure from something. Mm-hmm. And then they end up just binging on all of that stuff, get into substance abuse problems, all that kind of shit, because nobody's actually saying, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to, because you're a man. You're supposed to already have it all figured out. You don't need help. You're not supposed to ask for help. You're not supposed to get therapy because that's kind of lame. And that's all girl stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If you're raised to think all that, like whether it's just by shitty parents, maybe one parent not being in the household, or just, you know, some kind of a cultural thing that you've had from growing up with parents who came from somewhere else where that was very common, that creates all kinds of problems that we don't talk about. We just laugh at instead. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just pull clips and then we'll say, see how stupid these guys are. Oh, toxic masculinity. That's toxic masculinity at everything. Instead of going like, what's really going on right now? Mm-hmm. If I have a problem with Nikki, we get into arguments or something, We don't just sit there and talk about the argument. We try to peek behind the curtain and find out what's going on.
Yeah. Like, what was the intention behind the argument?
Or we would never make progress.
Yeah. It's healthy.
It's mm-hmm. That's everything. And that's how we have to choose as a I hate saying as a society so much, but that's all we have as a community. I mean, whatever. As people, if we want to actually make progress on problems, we have to actually treat them like they're problems.
And also come at it where, hey, we're both on the same team trying to figure out the solution.
Yeah, you're not just a fucking asshole that I'm talking to, and I hate assholes, so why am I talking to assholes, and why would I?
Mm-hmm.
But that's
because
where we're at.
A lot of the feminist movement, the healthy portion that's like, hey, you know, they're talking about the patriarchy is not just oppressing women, but also teaching men to not be able to deal with these problems. Like, you know, the patriarchy, and this is, I'm just saying in quotes because this is just from what I've heard, is that it's also responsible for creating the toxic masculinity and making it feel making these people feel like they can't go to therapy because that's a weak thing. Yeah, that's all part of what they're trying to dissemble. But then, you know, what happens is there's always extremists. So then you get the feminists or the extremist feminists that are like, fuck all men anyway, mm-hmm. you know? And so then these red pill guys are like, see, exactly. The feminists said fuck all men. Like, I can't ever like be vulnerable.
And they criticize each other's thinking, but they think the same way.
Dude, I read two separate articles on how, like, one was from feminists that was like, marriage only benefits the man. And one was from the red pill guys, it's like marriage only benefits the women. Mm-hmm. They both think that the system is set up to only serve that mm-hmm. segment of society, and it's sad because we can't just talk about it. But you know what's even sadder is being really hungry.
Ooh.
You're just fucking hungry, and you're like, I don't even have time to cook. I don't even have ingredients to cook. You know what would help you in your life is DoorDash. DoorDash is an app, and they are sponsoring us, so thank you for that, DoorDash. They connect you with restaurants that you love right now. You don't have to wait. It's right to your door, and you can get grocery essentials as well, not just restaurants, but if you need groceries, girl, guy, they got you. You can get drinks, snacks, other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. You just open up the app. You choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. So you don't have to touch nobody. You don't have to talk to nobody. They just drop it off at your door. There's over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, and you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code MOOD. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code MOOD. Don't forget, that's code MOOD for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
Do you need someone to talk to, but you don't really want to talk to your friends? I got you. We have Talkspace. I recommend Talkspace for therapy. It's an online therapy app that I actually used to use before. And it's great because you feel like you always have someone there to vent to dump all your feelings out to. You can sign up online and start therapy the same day as you sign up. You can text, video, or send voice messages to your licensed therapist because sometimes you're crying too hard and you don't want to type. So it's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions from the comfort of your home. It's also insanely affordable. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist 24/7 and they'll engage with you daily 5 days a week. When I used it, like, I would be going through things at like 2 a.m. and I don't want to wait until the next session to talk to a therapist. So I just dump it all out. I can do it on voice message if I want to, and they respond to you. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists with years of experience in over 40 specialties, including depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, anger management, and relationship issues, food and eating, and so much more. Talkspace is secure and private using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information. As a listener of our podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code MOOD to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's MOOD at Talkspace.com to get $100 off your first month.
That's a lot of doll hairs.
There's so many doll hairs.
100?
Going back to the whole, I kind of want to touch a little bit on that idea of like how feminists think marriage only benefits the man and women think that, or sorry, the opposite, hardcore opposite thinks that it only benefits. So can you, I guess, Steve, give us the hardcore red pill explanation why guys think marriage only benefits woman?
May I ask first though, because what is the difference between a red pill and a black pill?
There's a whole bunch of pills. There's like brown, green, whatever. There's like a
rainbow of pills.
They don't actually, there's no actual pills. They don't exist. Yes. We know that this comes from the Matrix, right? There was a scene where you get the blue pill or the red pill. So the blue pill is you just kind of stay in whatever, the fabricated world that we kind of, you know, stay asleep.
You're programmed.
Right. And then the red pill is like you get to
wake up.
The real truth of the world. And I guess so what they think the real truth of the world is that feminism is ruining and blah, 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 blah.
So black pill is the more super
those are
radical?
The guys that can't get laid at all. Like the incels are typically the black pill. So like red pill guys are like, they can still get chicks or whatever, but they're just pissed about them.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And then there's like brown pill, purple pill, green pill. Oh. Like you got to go look up all of the other pills. I mean, they just have their
whole pharmacy back there.
Yeah. Yeah. They have their own things that they're more obsessed with. Like some are more obsessed with like the elite society is ruining the world. Some are more obsessed with like,
see, I can
aliens.
Get on that train.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of different
ones.
Was
it an alien one?
I think so. I think
the green pill?
Maybe.
don't go looking. Yeah, it's already bad enough.
I want to join
Nikki's
these.
Gonna come home indoctrinated. Yeah,
did you know the feminist movement is hiding aliens?
All she had to do is watch a couple videos and she became a vegan for a little while.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was very emotionally traumatic. Like,
speaking of
slaughtering animals.
Cults and shit. Anyway, just kidding. I'm kidding. I love you.
So red pill is
like
still...
animals.
Red pill is kind of like normal guys that have relationships with women a lot. So even I believe one of the more popular moderators of the red pill was actually in a relationship at some point. So
he says with a girl in Canada.
He says,
but
right.
She's from another school. You guys probably don't know
yeah,
her.
Yeah, you guys never seen her.
So I would say the guys that like never fucking get laid, that like literally have to pay for prostitutes, are probably the black pill guys.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And they're the guys who are unfortunately obsessed with the idea of being masculine to the point where they talk about it so much that it makes them seem really weak.
Yeah.
And that's what I think they're missing in the way that they do all this.
The lack of self-awareness, yeah. So going back to like what do these red pill guys think? Why do they think that marriage only benefits women and not the man?
So alimony, right?
So we're talking about divorce though, but
well,
marriage.
No, but you're tied into with somebody, and then if they can just leave you, which is their plan ultimately the whole time, like in a way,
it's always agenda based, yeah.
And then they'll leave you, and then they get to take half of everything that you worked for. And then there's the idea too that they they got with you for that. And it's funny too, because
they trapped you.
They trapped you. But yeah. I do know somebody who went through that, where literally on the year where she qualified for alimony, she filed for divorce. So like, it does happen, yeah. But they choose to look at it and go, that happens to everybody.
That's the yeah. only scenario.
Because this
that
happened
happen.
To me or yeah. my friend, that's why
because
it happens
exists,
to everybody.
It's the ultimate truth. Yes. Because it's yeah. existed a few times.
And they'll hold it over your head like, well, try and divorce me then. Like, you do what I want or else I'll divorce you and I'll take all your money.
It's so black and white with them. There's no in between, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, but we all fall for it with different topics, right? It just depends. So you have to try to remember that as we talk about even different things, that it's so easy to snap judgment and just clap back and be like, that's so fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. But if we want to actually try to...
There are instances of it happening.
Yeah, but if we... Yeah. Exactly. But if we want to try to solve problems, we have to dig in a little deeper sometimes than we do, right? Especially right now where it's like, well, you're canceled and like, I don't even know why you brought up... Like what happened to Jordan Peterson? It's like, he's bringing up that men should be talked about. And
well,
like,
I think Jordan got canceled for his views on transgender issues,
well,
but that's,
there's a lot.
There's a lot
they,
of reasons why he's been canceled.
Because he's anti-trans.
He's
say,
not, by the way.
Right, but that's what yeah. that's what I'm saying, where you can just take somebody, what they're trying to say, warp it into what they're not saying, and then destroy them for what they're not saying. And right. then if you like Jordan Peterson, now you're viewed as an alt-right person, right, yeah. and then you are like, wait, is that where I belong? What the fuck? So it's all just a
circular
firing
squad.
Yeah,
you're not even allowed
to
listen to a discussion or else now you're getting lumped in with it.
Or say that you listen to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's just wild as hell to me.
Yeah.
But
it's healthy to understand the other side. I remember I had one person on my Facebook that was very right-wing and we had very opposite beliefs. And I reached out to him. I was like, hey, like, I don't want to attack you, but I really do want to understand the other side. You know, like, I want to hear your side. So
there's
maybe
a reason why they believe that healthy. Stuff. Exactly. So you kind of yeah. want to know why, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we had a healthy discussion about it. I mean, later on, he turned out to be fucking racist as shit. But I feel yeah. like it's healthy to understand the other side.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. And then so I guess on the feminist, on the hardcore feminist side of, you know, marriage only benefits men, in their point of view, because I've read some of it, I don't necessarily agree with this, but in their point of view, they think that, you know, men are very much served by a woman. Like, she makes sure the house is in order. She's like the mate. She's like the free mate, kind of tip. Not free, but obviously you're paying for her to live there. But like the free maid. The
and
free
these are expectations
housekeeper.
On the woman.
Yeah. So like she'll cook, she'll clean, she'll raise the kids. She'll do everything for you so you can have this family life, which benefits you in society so that you can go out and work.
She has to take your name.
Yeah, so she's basically serving you her whole life. And then what happens that I guess pisses off a lot of women is that they'll trade down for a younger girl, right? So they're like, I'm going to give him my whole life, serve him my whole life, and then he's just going to trade down for another, for a younger model of the Barbie. So I'm just spending my whole life and serve, and then he kicks me out when I'm old and no one's going to want me. So there's, you can see why,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, those circumstances have happened. So like the woman's now 52 or something, like she's her blown out from kids, you know, like she's not, she's
and
not,
by the way, if you're 52, it's, yeah, this yeah, yeah. is not, this is not true, but I'm like, this is how it feels.
This
yeah.
is the exaggerated, if you're 53 though, then you should be worried.
This is the exaggerated statement. Like men, yeah. women are made to feel like when they've had, they're in their 50s, they've had their kids, they're no longer desirable anymore, so like my husband's just going to trade down, the marriage benefited him, and he's going to get married again,
and
then
they see evidence of that because guys are doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So but is that every marriage? No. Is that like 5% of them? Definitely, probably.
There's also too much outside looking in, right? Like if I'm a hardcore feminist and I look at a housewife and I'm like, ugh, like I pity you. You don't know that this person is suffering or any of that kind of shit. She could like that she does that. My mom was a housewife. My mom fucking loved raising kids. My mom was is a genius at raising kids. You watch my mom with kids, it's incredible.
I don't think it's about them hating the housewife. I think it's like the anger that comes from like, oh, you spent your whole life doing that and then now you get traded in for a new model.
No, I'm not talking about that though. Yeah. I'm talking about the ones who do. The ones who
See being a housewife.
Belittle housewives.
Yeah. We actually just talked about this in the last episode where like, why can't we just let women choose? And I feel like the heart of the feminist movement is just like letting women choose.
That's
like
the original heart.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then there's extremists that are like, you shouldn't be doing anything for a man and you should be wanting to have your own career, your own life. And like the housewife is like, I want this life. I chose this life.
And that's like, incoming fire from other feminists, right? Or from other
the
women.
Extremists, yeah.
And then for guys, if you want to be a stay-at-home dad, you get incoming fire from the guys.
Yeah, who are like, very
that's
uncommon.
Lame. And like, that's like feminine.
Not manly.
Right. Or even the way that I talk. When I came into JK, I remember some of the guys saying that I have a feminine perspective. And I'm like, that's not...
You just because you're in touch with your emotions?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm asking questions. I'm interested in what people are thinking. But unfortunately, people get wired to think that doing that is feminine. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just... You're just trying to understand people. So, but we do all this to everything. We slap labels on it and go male, female, like womenly, manly, masculine,
feminine.
It's very extreme in Asian households too. Men are not like men are not allowed to.
I experienced that.
Feel any sort of emotion, express any sort of emotion. Like that's not manly. This is not manly. This is not manly. And I remember hearing it in my family all the time. Like this is not manly. This is not feminine and stuff. You know. And so then I grew up and I realize that a lot of men have very suppressed emotions, have no idea how to show them, and when they do, they get called out for being like a little bitch or something.
Punished, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some quote I saw somewhere about like either whether violent in person or like they're hiding some sort of violence because they have nowhere to put it. Whether they actually go out and shoot someone or they're hiding it in their head and they're like online, like they're like a lot of men are just like hiding some sort of violence and it's going to erupt in some way.
Yeah, unprocessed emotion is scary in both men and women. Like if you suppress your emotions as a woman, it could come out in so many other different ways.
Probably not as violent.
Maybe promiscuous. Maybe yeah.
You could drown your kids. I mean, there's all
there's a few of those. Yeah, there's definitely some women that have lost it and killed their kids. But
I've heard some really just strange standards for men that I've throughout my life. Like men aren't supposed to speak as much. It's like what the fuck?
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, like, who said that?
Asian households, like men shouldn't speak as much. They keep their emotions inside and they just work and that's it. Like you don't need to speak as much.
It's about their emotions? But because men have the platform to speak on fucking everything.
Yeah, usually.
Though, but maybe not so emotional.
Yeah. Like for my dad example, he was raised like that, you know? It wasn't until the last like maybe 5-10 years that he was able to actually express more, because it was always I'm a man, I keep it inside, I don't speak. Men don't speak much. Men go to work, they bring money home, that's it. And I've met other men who are just like they finally break down. Like I dated a guy who finally broke down. He's like, everyone just expects so much of me, I can't say anything, I can't do anything. And it's heartbreaking how these people
and you don't raised. Even in the center, the places that you're talking about where men are heard, right, usually they're not talking about what's going on under there. Mm-hmm. They're talking about sports, talking about like whatever fucking political thing, like late night comedy or whatever. They're not talking about men. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's interesting is there's no place to like, I mean, until Joe Rogan came along, really, there was nowhere to go where it's like, hey, this is what guys are like, and this is like how men are. And if you're in that weird transition point, like between being a teen or a young man and trying to be a man, like how do I do that?
Who tells
what is that
them
like?
What they're supposed to do?
Right. And if you're raised in a household without a father, or without a father who like is worth a damn.
Yeah. Or he's always working, or there's some reason why the males aren't getting much information passed down.
Till this day, I can still ask my guy friends, like when you are going through something, emotionally, or maybe like a breakup or a family death or something, who do you go to open up to? And a majority of them be like, no one, I kind of just keep to myself. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's not healthy, you know?
But we're encouraged to.
Yeah, but they're encouraged.
Even when you're even when you've been raised that way, though, and then now someone tries to encourage you to, it's almost like you don't even know how. Because like I feel like I've tried that with my dad. Like I'm like, can like try to get him to open up, because I can see him hurting about this or that, but and maybe it's because I'm his daughter too, he won't tell me shit, but I just feel like asking men to do that also, they're probably like, wait, I don't even know where to
it's
start
a reflex,
with that.
Though.
I can't even do that.
I go to try to get there and my reflexes don't, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just something that you're just shown, like from every example that you see, like whether it's in your own household or in media or anything. It's guys don't cry. We don't want to talk about our feelings. And like, we're fucking, either we're superheroes or we're the weird fucking guy in the Nightcrawler. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's and then there's a lot of in between. Like you're a Kevin James and you're the fat guy with a hot wife.
See, that's like, I like that guy.
Right, he's sick.
Those are the best ones.
But that's
Wait, know? See, I think that guy, though, is a little bit more healthy because he processes pain through humor. So at least it's like getting processed a little bit, you know, like it just, you know, it's at least coming out. But the ones I'm scared of are the ones that never address anything. Or
And I just think that we all need to be better at listening to that, right? Just like when somebody is lashing out, instead of doing this thing like, why are you being so dramatic, or why are you like doing this, trying to figure out what's going on behind there. It has changed everything for me, like personally, just like doing that with you all the time. Like, I have no resentment with you ever.
Yeah, same.
Because we figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, Steve had a breakthrough on our, we have on our Patreon, we have a Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, which is a bonus episode of our regular podcast. And we, it's kind of more intimate, and it's kind of more like things that we haven't all the way figured out yet. We're going through it. And I remember you like having a breakthrough of realizing that you cried because you were like, you didn't realize you were depressed, because every time I ask you, it's like the reflex is like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to show you that.
But really, like, there's some shit underneath there that's like, fuck, I am depressed.
Yeah.
And it was like a safe space to actually get to process that.
Well, she asked me, she's like, you know, you do, what do you do for yourself?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't do anything for myself. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I broke down about it, because that's, and I think that that is happening out there to a lot of men, women, everybody. Like, what do you, you know, if you are a person who gets fulfillment from helping friends or family members or whatever, if you don't help yourself, then it's inevitable that you're on the downward slope to in a depression cycle.
You're just giving and you're not filling back up your cup.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I went, is I just didn't have the ability to fill my own cup up, because I was like, well, I'll get the little hits of dopamine that I get from helping you out or helping friends out, and not doing anything for me.
And I think that if that goes unrecognized for too long, that I could see how a guy would build resentment. Like,
why not?
I'm just giving and giving and giving, and no one ever gives to me, and I don't, because they're not giving to themselves. And
we ridicule them.
Yeah.
We ridicule them. We say it's toxic masculinity to be a certain type of man right now. But literally a whole part of our society functions on the backs of men working. Like, when there's a storm and your power goes out, who do you think it is who takes that risky job? Like, statistically, it's going to be a guy, because women statistically don't want to do like that riskier like job to their own like safety. And yes, of course, there are women who do it.
Yeah.
But
there are exceptions to every rule.
It's,
but
it's technically it, or
statistically,
it's going to be a guy out there. But we don't look at that and say thank you. We don't look at that and think that's good. We go, we live in a patriarchal society where men are all bad, and everything that men set up,
every masculine aspect is
our culture got set up by men, and it's all bad to be a man. So stop doing that. Raise your kids as not men. Like, don't teach them manly things or responsibility, and then be shocked at the result.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what a lot of these communities are mad about.
Yeah, I mean, that, and that's understandable. I think whenever there's an imbalance, there's an overcorrection that happens first. And I think that's kind of maybe what we're experiencing now or seeing now. And, you know, if you zoom out, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Other generations fucked themselves up. And then now we're trying to figure out and correct their mistakes. And so then we end up fucking ourselves up. And then the next generation has to fix our mistakes. And it's
goes
just
back
like
to super masculine.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's, there's an overcorrection period where there was like a long fucking history of like, well, we didn't get to, women didn't get to vote. We had to like do everything our husband said. We literally couldn't get a job. We couldn't
for
go to
talking.
Yeah.
Slapped across the face.
We weren't supposed to speak. We were just supposed to be baby makers that raise the kids and know how to make a good meal and
seen
keep our man happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a movement that was like, hey, I don't want that to be my life.
Yep.
I'm actually interested in science. Can I go like be a fucking astronaut? Like, is there a space for me there? A space. So then it's like this healthy movement started where it's like, okay, cool. We got voting rights now. We can go
to open a bank
education.
Account.
Yeah.
I can buy a house.
We got equal rights.
I have to wear concealer every time now.
It's making me very uncomfortable.
But then what happened, I think
I don't have to make sandwiches. Does that hurt you?
I make sandwiches because I want to, not because I have to.
I have
make the bed because I want to.
Not because I have to.
And I use high quality bed sheets.
From Etitude.
Sounds really good. I like that. Good job.
The dirty little not so secret about the bedding aisle is that the cotton might be the most popular fabric for sheets, duvets, and pillowcases, but it's damaging to our planet, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And to your hair.
Cotton. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Silk sheets are better for the hair. Yeah. So we wanted to introduce you guys to Etitude. I love these sheets. They feel so soft. You can tell when someone has nice sheets versus when they have those cheap sheets.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. It feels different. You feel rich when you go to sleep. It just feels good. It's comfy. It's cool. Etitude is the anti-cotton. Unlike cotton, which consumes massive amounts of water, energy, and chemicals during production, Etitude uses organic bamboo, which is the most resource-efficient plant on the planet.
It's so soft.
They're so comfortable. Etitude's 100% organic bamboo fabric has a unique, silky, smooth, and feathery soft texture. That is, it does kind of feel like silk, but it's not silk.
Yeah.
It feels very soft.
It's like softer than silk.
Yeah, it's amazing. Their passion to provide the best quality sleep in the most sustainable way. Etitude's organic bamboo fabrics are temperature regulating, hypoallergenic, antibacterial, and toxin free. And we know guys don't like to wash their sheets, so maybe try Etitude sheets. You won't, you know,
and that's
antibacterial.
That's all guys.
That's all guys don't.
Listen,
literally, not one guy has ever washed a sheet.
That's definitely a true trope.
Every guy has always had that. Remember that the t-shirt fabric
sheets from Target.
Just stays there no matter what.
Like just pills fabric. Ugh.
Try Etitude bedding for 30 nights. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund. Okay? Right now you can get 20% off your order plus free shipping when you visit etitude.com/mood and enter our code MOOD. Remember, that's Etitude as in eco attitude. Order today for free shipping and 20% off your order. Etitude.com/mood with promo code MOOD so they know we sent you.
Also, shout out to Noom if you want to correct your habits. If you want to get healthy and stay healthy, you need to know more about how you make decisions, not just that you make decisions, but like how do you make those decisions? And what Noom does is it gives you the knowledge, tools, and confidence to make strategic choices that turn into long-term habits. You know, little by little, you can change how your life flows by changing these little habits. So specific goals you want to achieve, you can figure out the psychology behind it and then incorporate that into your life, whether it's physical, which is like eating better to feel better, having more energy, psychological, like an improved sense of self-worth, or a social type of thing where like you feel more confident in a crowd. With Noom, it's easy and convenient. It's just 10 minutes a day and the tone of the program works with your lifestyle. So you don't have to commit to a rigorous plan. Just 10 minutes a day. That's everyone has got 10 minutes a day. Come on. It's based in psychology. Noom teaches you why you make the choices you do and gives you the tools to replace your habits with healthier ones. They use a cognitive behavioral approach. See, that just sounds fancy and I just believe it because it sounds like, oh, that's science. Well, fix me. It means it's not just improving your health. You're actually gaining the knowledge and habits you need to stay healthy. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. Noom.com/bigmood. Learn how to get healthy with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/bigmood. Ready to learn how to live healthier? Sign up for Noom today at Noom.com/bigmood.
Big mood.
Big mood.
Yes.
We give you guys so many discounts, man.
I know. You're welcome, and also thank you for our sponsors.
Yeah, all that money that you save, Venmo me.
Yeah.
Stupid. All right, well, I wanted to touch on this article that I read because it helped me, I guess, find a little bit of empathy, I would say. So this is a very long article. It was published on The Guardian, which say what you will about that news outlet. I don't know. It's by Stephen Marchi or Markey or something. It's called Swallowing the Red Pill, A Journey into the Heart of Modern Misogyny. So this is a man's outside take on the Red Pill community. And he also interviewed one of the main moderators or whatever. So it's a really long article. I suggest you read it if you're interested. But he was saying... just a little excerpts from the article. He was saying, more than lust or hatred, the boys hunger for clarity. They desire escape from confusion. If you dig through the misogyny and the bravado, the boys still want the one. They are as lost in that pursuit as every generation of men has been before them. So what we're seeing is just a ton of misogyny and women hatred and all this stuff. But what he's saying is he really feels that underneath, they all still really do just want to, like, be in love, but they're confused on how to deal with women, like how, you know.
Same with the extreme feminists. I think that like underneath it all, they felt tricked almost by Disney movies or whatever, and they went extremely the other way. Mm-hmm. But underneath, I think everyone wants love.
Yeah. What do you think, Steve?
I think if you were to take a picture of a big crowd, mm-hmm. and it's like 1,000 people, you could point to a couple signs in the crowd that are shitty people. But unfortunately, a lot of news outlets and a lot of places now, they like to just take those two signs and go, that's what this crowd's there for. That's mm-hmm. what they're about. They're all like that. Mm-hmm. And this guy decided to go, you know what? Like, what's actually going on behind the scenes here? And go figure, he found there's a human element to this. And that's what I don't find surprising, is that I think there's a human element to all of this stuff that gets missing when we just try to destroy each other, mm-hmm. which is what our social media has become.
That's why I hate labels, because that it's like when you put a label on something, you're saying that's an other. Like, that's not me. That's not my box. That's another box. And I'm just going to label this group and I'm not going to listen to them because they're not in my box.
Yeah. And not the whole crowd is not represented by those two signs. So that's my... it's a very frustrating thing to see constantly happening to so many different movements. Yeah. Like,
I think it's happened to even more of an extreme in the pandemic too.
Exactly.
Because everyone's on social media because you can't leave your house.
Yeah.
And so everyone creates so many boxes.
Well, there's something to be said for the way the technology was set up. Like, you have on Twitter 280 characters now. Like, how can you really have a real representation of your idea? Like, even if you have something to say, you're going to say it in the most kind of direct and snappy way in order to get attention. And I noticed that because during the Valentine's Day thing, a lot of girls were like, why can't you just, like, you know, do something? And I'm like, yeah, why can't you just fucking, if your girl just wants flowers, just show up with flowers. It's so small. Like, why do you hate women? Like, why can't you just do that? But it's like, obviously the discussion is way longer, but Twitter makes it to where, like, it's easier for me to just type, what do you hate women?
It's the headline.
What? Yeah. So like the way the technology set up is that the discussions really aren't there. So social media makes it so much easier to get so much more radical, so much faster, because mm-hmm. you don't have, it's not the same as talking to someone in person.
And what goes viral is the quippy
headlines. It's got to hit hard.
That hit an emotion. Yeah.
But I think that we need men, and we need men to be men right now. And I don't know that there's a lot of places for them to go to find out how to do that.
Well, what do you think that equals a man? Because I think it's even unclear to us
mm-hmm. or into other guys. Being responsible for yourself, being accountable for yourself. And, you know, and then also being able to protect the ones that you love, like physically. I think that, and all I mean by that is, unfortunately, the bad ones that are out there, when Nikki goes walking at like close to night, she's worried about the bad men out there. So mm-hmm. she won't go walking unless I'm with her.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason why I, as a man, have to be as strong as possible, is because there's shitty ones that would do harm to her if I was not there. And so that's what I mean by that, is we need to become men so that we can fight the bad ones. And like, there's a reason why, like, you know, guys are supposed to walk women to their cars at night. Even if it's just your friend, they're over, you walk a woman to her car at night. Why? Are you afraid of a female jogger coming up with a knife?
Yeah.
Like, you're afraid of a guy. You're afraid of some crazy guy trying to do something that you don't want to have happen to you. And so the reason why we need to raise men as men is so that they understand how to protect the people that they love. That's all. It's not because, oh, I'm such a badass guy or anything like that.
But is there any sort of impediment to, like, guys feeling like they want to protect women? Like, what? Like,
yeah,
why
all this talk, right? Like, well, I don't need to, you know, get the door for her or any of that shit. That's all, like, that's all patriarchal bullshit stuff that's why everything's fucked up right now.
Okay. So I guess as a female myself, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, well, that's just like 10 girls believe that. So I guess it's the whole thing about you're hearing the craziest, like, we're hearing the craziest thing that men are saying, mm-hmm. but they're hearing the craziest thing that women say. Because I don't personally believe that it belittles me whatsoever for a man to open the door. I expect that.
I love it. Yeah.
I also open the door for people to, it just seems like a nice, courteous thing to do
if
as a
I'm
person.
If I'm there and people are trying to get through and it's easier for me to stand back, hold the door open, I'm going to do that. But
the door, walking on the outside, right? All that stuff. I just, it's all about, like, ultimately, obviously, protection, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're trying to protect from the bad guys. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's not because, like, you know, it's not all bad stuff. And, like, just because this came from a time where, like, all this fucked up shit was happening to women, it doesn't mean that all the carry through of it is the same as that.
Every element.
Right. And I don't think everyone thinks that, but I just think that should be said more because we just go, my God, our world or modern society was set up by these patriarchal, all this shit. And we don't look at some of the good things that happen, like how everyone has a refrigerator right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't look at like how like air conditioning is affordable for people of like the lowest income levels. Like, we instead just go like, it's all bad. It's all because of bad. And if you go to Vox or any of that stuff, you're just taught to think that everything that happened before now was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you will drive people, reasonable people, into dark places.
Yeah. I even think, like, you know, a lot of those guys that are in this community that go extreme, and then you hear, like, they do a manifesto and then they shoot up a bunch of girls or, like, Rogers. A sorority or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's like those guys that didn't get an outlet. Now they turn and just they start hating all women. It is the guy that you're protecting the girl from on the way to the mm-hmm. car.
And that's why we need
I read that manifesto. It was very interesting.
It was crazy.
It's crazy.
It happened in my hometown, too.
Really?
Yeah.
The Elliot Rogers
Santa Barbara
one? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it Santa Barbara?
He was a little bit strange because he was angry
a
that...
A little bit?
Okay, so he was, like, maybe a little bit understood. Anyhow, but no, he was very strange because he was angry, not that women rejected him, but he was angry because women didn't approach him and hit on him. That was the thing. He's like, how can you not hit on me? I drive a BMW.
He came from a wealthy family or something.
Yeah.
But he was projecting. If you watch the video, you know that he doesn't think all that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell, obviously, behind this facade, this bravado that he's projecting, he's really hurting because he can't get with a chick.
And he doesn't understand why. He's like, I got the car, so like, why?
I got the watch, I got the car.
Why aren't they coming now?
Yeah. Because women aren't just goldfish, too. Yeah. I mean, like, they want you to have a personality, too.
There was evidence for his false dichotomy,
right.
And he could not see it.
Right.
Yeah, he saw them going to the guy that had more muscles than him, or like, had whatever.
He saw the muscles and the nice things, but he didn't see them putting an effort in talking to the woman and actually doing those things.
Why?
To get a woman to talk to you.
He had the car. He had the watch. Right? Why isn't it working? Mm-hmm. I mean, because it doesn't work, right? It could work on some people. Sure. No question. Mm-hmm. But...
Well, there's so many different reasons why different things work, right? Like, if you're talking to one girl and another girl, like, the car and the watch thing might work for this girl, but it's not going to work for that girl.
Yeah.
And then also for the guy. If the guy's attractive, he might not need the money. But if the guy is attractive and he has money, but his personality's bad, it's not going to work on that girl. So there's thousands of scenarios where... With
different combinations of strengths and
there's
weaknesses.
There's no rule for why something's going to work.
But that's why we got to start at the building blocks, right? Like, be responsible for yourself. Be accountable. Like... And then, you know, treat people with respect. Like, obviously, like don't, like, dunk on waiters and shit.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but there's a lot of that. Like, I'm showing someone disrespect so that I can show you that, see, I'm confident and strong. And it doesn't...
No one likes that.
No
so
one.
But they think that...
Yeah.
It's that idea that if I can step on everything in this room, I'm showing you... That I have
that, like, I'm big.
The ability.
I'm the alpha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look how big I am. I'm stepping in all
what
these
things. What would you say to guys, because I know earlier you were talking about the physical ability to protect women, but I think some of the guys feel a little hurt because they're maybe shorter or they feel physically weaker that women don't want them because they can't maybe physically protect them as well, and they feel like... unworthy or whatever, or they're meant to feel unworthy because of that.
You can always work on yourself. I mean, there's look in UFC, there's not the tallest guys in the world.
There's like, a lot of like 5'6" guys that'll whoop some ass.
Yeah, it's I mean, BJ Penn was a short guy.
Bart Kwan's
the shortest guy I've ever seen.
He's 5'10". So
Bart Kwan's
I think
a leprechaun.
He's like, people think that anything under 6 foot, a woman won't want it.
That's not true because a lot of women are 5'3", 5'4", 5'10".
I know it's not true.
No, but it's because they see these, there's dating profiles like all over the place
like
on
six
Tinder.
Six foot minimum.
Yeah. Like, you see that stuff.
That's a meme, but yeah, I mean, I get that because, like, of course, when we're coming from an angle of wanting to be protected, obviously our... Number one, first choice would be the tallest, the strongest, the biggest, the richest, the smartest, like, because we want to be protected and we want our offspring to be protected. But realistically, when it comes down to it, like, not all of those things really matter, you know? Like,
well, you have a very mature way of looking at this, where I'm an untrained, not that critical thinking person, I see the 6-foot meme and I'm going, see, it's another piece of proof that I cannot, I have no shot.
How do you feel being over 6 foot?
I feel great. No, it's incredible. Everyone should live this way. No, yeah. No, that is not what gave me confidence, right? I got my confidence because I have a very good understanding of who I am and what I want out of life. And I have strong belief systems, and they give me confidence so that no matter what room I'm in, I can be confident in what I think about whatever the topic is.
You have non-negotiables.
Yes. And I have a bedrock of just these. I will not cheat on my wife. I will not, you know, emotionally cheat on my wife. I will not, like, all that stuff gives me confidence.
There's mm-hmm. that thing, and I know a lot of people hate Jordan Peterson, and he brought him up, and I actually, I've listened to several hours of his stuff because I wanted to know, like, is this a good person or a bad person? I think he's a good person. His views may not agree with yours or whatever, but there's one thing he says where I think it's kind of like the whole, people are looking for freedom, or they value freedom, but the real freedom is actually in certain sacrifices, because once you live a life that's totally just up for anything, whatever, I could cheat, I can whatever, I can, then you start to get bogged down by your addictions, and you start to get bogged down by, like, there's so much,
everything
shit.
Becomes meaningless.
Yeah,
too.
So there is a freedom in actually having responsibility, sacrifice. So, like, being married, not cheating on your wife.
Yes,
like there's like a freedom and a purpose.
I like freedom within a structure. That's like how I like everything in my life is even with creativity, like a blank canvas is so hard to work with. But like, here are some rules, like draw a piece of fruit. I was like, I could draw it that so many ways, but I now have a rule that I'm like following. I like that structure, like craving structure with, but then you get freedom within that structure.
So. Yeah. It seems like, I mean, what upsets me the most about the current state of, men, I guess, is their access to the internet, I feel like has made them weaker, because, like, you know, they don't really have to approach women anymore. They just go online, swipe, and then we start to feel like commodities, and then we start treating them like trash because they're treating us like trash, and it's just creating a whole thing. And it's like, when are they, if they're running our society, are they gonna just stop this cycle of, like, treating women like, you know, trash?
But if they're running,
what do we do?
Not the people running society, right? These guys are in dark corners for a reason. There's nobody at the top reaching down for their hand, right? These guys are left out, and that's why they feel the need to act out. And so it's,
but I mean, like, the dating culture, right, where guys are just like, guys are wanting to get to a point to where they're cool enough that they can treat women as replaceable objects. So, like, all the guys just want to be cool enough, have enough money so that, like, when can I be cool enough to, like, just pick up whatever chick I want and then throw her away? Like, that's what they're striving for some reason. And like, that's what's bothering me about men right now, because I don't think it was like that before.
Yeah, I see a lot of these nice guy memes where it's like they were nice and the girls don't want the nice guy. Yeah. They want the asshole. Well, okay, I need to get to be the asshole then. Mm-hmm. And then they see it as like, well, that's what they want anyway, so they deserve to be treated like this,
but they weren't nice just to be nice.
Right.
They were nice to get an outcome.
Yeah.
So it was transactional.
And I think a lot of those guys are in this group, in this red pill, black pill group, because they're like, they just see, oh, she chooses the asshole constantly over me, a nice guy.
Yeah.
So therefore, I want to get to the point of being an asshole because that's what she wants. Like,
the asshole is, like, he wants her for pussy, right? And that's transactional. I tried to be nice to get my transaction with her, and it was declined.
Yeah.
They don't see the irony of doing something, like, falsely to get an outcome.
Yep.
They're just working an angle. Mm-hmm. And they're a used car salesman who's just got a better pitch.
But there's this victimhood mentality in all that I feel like is consistent in these groups, any extremist group, where it's like, well, I tried it my way, and they don't want who I am. Like,
well,
I have to be.
They're probably I mean, it's like they want the stupid bimbo that, like her ultimate goal, like, is I just want to be on a boat in the Maldives or whatever. Like, so it's like, I mean, obviously you don't have the tools to catch that fish, but, like, is that the fish that's really going to ultimately?
But there's no greater, unfortunately, there's no greater, like, enemy to confidence than having that victim mentality that they're having.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's funny because it's like there's so many contradictions. It's like there's these, all these guys that say all women are gold diggers or what they there's right. this faction of them that think that all women want you for your money, but they're only going after women who want money.
Right. As soon as they get money, then they try to go get the gold diggers.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You think that once you have money and then women will just flock to you, and then the women that are making their own money, they don't want them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, okay, you're only, yeah, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
We've all seen the awkward guy with the luxury watch, with the car, can't get chicks. Nope. Why? Because he's awkward.
You never developed anything else.
He's not confident with himself, mm-hmm. right? And so having those building blocks and being confident with yourself will attract other people to you, friends, like women, men, whatever. Like, people are attracted to confidence. And it does. You don't have to be... You know, Bill Gates is confident. He's not, you know, and he I don't think he had any problem getting laid, because Bill Gates, you when you hear him talk, he's interesting to listen to because he's passionate about what he's talking about.
Yeah. There have been mm-hmm. many instances where, like, at first I don't find someone attractive, but then you get to know them more and their confidence, and you're just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, and the height thing, like, you, like Tim, he's 5 foot, what, 7?
Yeah.
He carries himself like he's 8 foot 2.
I've had, like, 2 or 3 pretty short boyfriends that were like under 5'7". So
it's the be do have versus the have do be. So people think in their minds that they have to have the money first and then they can have the things they want and be the person they want to be. But really, it's the opposite. And when you say confidence is key, it is the key. It's so cliche, but you have to be, do, have. You have to be the confident person first. Then you do the things that confident people do because you have it within you. And then you have the things that confident people have, not the other way around.
Kevin Hart's short as fuck. He's like the biggest guy in every room he walks into.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just about having that confidence. It's not necessarily about being the funniest. It's not about being whatever, just being the most authentically, like, whatever it is that you like a lot.
You own it.
Yeah, own the fuck out of it. There are guys out there with garages filled with toy train sets who get laid. Yeah. I don't know how it works, but they are passionate about it, right? And they find somebody else who's like, you're so dumb. I love that you love this. And they find it cute. And then, like, they're like, I'm going to be painting this weekend. And they're like, you. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just find something that you're confident about in yourself and build from there.
It's attractive when people are passionate about something.
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, I found a YouTube channel where I listen to guys talk about fucking pinball because they love it. I don't even give a shit about pinball because it's interesting, because they're interested in it. That's it.
Yeah.
Women love passion. People love passion, period. I dated a dude who was super passionate about Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and that made me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, is just like, people aren't, go within yourself, find your thing.
Right.
Find your thing. That's attractive.
I would like to close this out with another little section of that article that I had referenced earlier. He was saying, that what the boys of the red pill need, in all honesty, is just a massive dose of romantic poetry combined with therapy. They need to learn that love is awful in both the ancient and modern senses, and that love is indefinitely more powerful and real than any marketplace, sexual or otherwise. They need to know that desire is a mess and everyone suffers from its mess. Instead of culture, the world offers the red pill boys contempt. Instead of education, offers them outrage. But it's not just the boys of the red pill who need to begin again to learn. It's everybody. It's the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah, so we need to balance out for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Yeah.
So I
hope you feel heard, you MGTOW boys.
Yeah, you little MGTOW boys who want to go their own way.
So sweet.
Where are they going?
They're not going
their own way.
They're harassing us online. I'm kidding. Anyways, if you like this episode, give us 5 stars, rate us, whatever. You guys know the deal. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share.
Check out our sponsors. They're all dope.
Hey,
I love
check
all
out my
sponsors.
Podcast, Shit They Don't Tell You.
Oh, yeah, yes, I guess you could. What else you got going on, Steve? You got a crypto corner going on.
I got a crypto corner going on, and me and Nikki's Patreon. You hear about my crypto moves.
Yeah.
And then sick
crypto moves.
Yeah. I'm making some sick crypto moves. Yeah. And then also, I do my podcast with my lovely wife here, Shit They Don't Tell You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Check us out.
All right, guys.
Love you.
Thank you. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.